I'd like to call the Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development Committee back to order. Thank you, members, for your patience. I know it's a busy time, and we appreciate this. We should be able to wrap up here in the next hour. What I would like to do is bring back Senator Champion, and I think we need a motion to take Senate File 523 from the table. Senator Schmidt moves that Senate File 523 be taken from the table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Senator Champion, Senate File 523, we did hear testimony. Some of the members weren't in the room, but if you just want to give maybe a quick brief overview, and then we can see if there's any questions or comments from the members who are now in the committee. Senator Champion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Senate File 523 really is an opportunity for potential employees to be judged on their skills and qualifications as opposed to just their past. And what this file does is it expands ban the box from public employers to private, and it still allows for an employer to do their due diligence and do background checks. It still allows them to do everything that an employer would want to do. All it does is says that on the application that you cannot have this question on there. Now, with that being said, you are allowed to, under my bill, to still on an application indicate if there are any prohibited, for lack of a better word, convictions that will prohibit a person from being able to have that to be employed by that particular employer. Like, for an example, if there's some state law or some federal law that says, you know, certain crimes disqualify a person, they are still able to put that on the application. All this does, again, is create an opportunity for the employee, the potential employee, to be judged on their skills and qualifications before an employer makes a decision. But, again, we are asking for this particular bill to go forward because we think that this is good public policy and that it's beneficial for all involved, the potential employee, the employer, and the great state of Minnesota.
Thank you very much, Senator Champion. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Rood.
Mr. Chair, Senator, so if a private company wanted to make it a condition of their employment, that you had to pass a background check, although they really say, for instance, I see one of your exceptions is that, like, if you were an armored car driver and you would have to pass a background check. But say a company simply wanted that level of security for a background check, but yet they didn't really have a legal reason for having a background check. Could they still make it a condition of employment, or are they prohibited from doing that?
Senator Champion, or Commissioner, I guess, whoever would like to go.
Senator, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, an employer in that situation could still have as a condition of employment that the individual be free from a particular criminal conviction. Currently, under law, that right exists. In order to ensure, and this is what the advice would be from their outside counsel to the company, is that company should engage in a particularized assessment as to the need to ensure that it is a job necessity for that position. If an employer did not engage in that particularized assessment, then they could be potentially exposing themselves to some type of liability risk. And that's sort of the guidance which was issued by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission on April 25th of last year. But to your specific question, yes, a company could do that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Senator Rood.
Mr. Chair, but Mr. Commissioner, unless they had a valid legal reason, they couldn't simply for their own, because they're a private company, they simply couldn't make that a condition of employment.
Commissioner?
Senator, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if a company decided that they felt that it was a risk, they could make a determination that a criminal history would prohibit, but they would have to engage in a particularized assessment. That's what the current law is. It's not a federal statute, not a state statute. They could make a determination, for example, that the individual would be engaged with the public such that the job required that that individual did not have a criminal background history, and that right exists now.
Senator Bonhoff and Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, so now I'm a little bit confused because I don't see any place in this bill that says that a company would need to undertake some kind of an assessment with regard to why they wouldn't want an employee with a particular criminal background to work for them. Where in this bill does it refer to that?
Senator Boniff, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, this bill does not address that question. You're now asking a different question concerning what an employer may wish to do to minimize its liability in the area of negligent retention or what I would consider just in tort law. And an employer, this bill does not address that respective issue. And that's why I say currently an employer could engage in that. And if they were to do so, their outside counsel would advise them that they should engage in a particularized assessment.
Senator Bonner.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, I think that your remarks are making this issue very confusing because it raises all sorts of questions in our minds. I think what Senator Rood was asking is, does this bill limit an employer's ability to do background checks as they wish? And I think the answer is no.
That's what I had said at the beginning. The answer is no as relates to that.
So, and Mr. Chair, and this bill has nothing to do with how a company would decide whether or not they would preclude somebody from working for them. As I understand, what this bill does is it says you're getting rid of that being able to have a check require that a person put an X in a box saying if they've committed something, but still the company has the total right to do a background check, correct?
Commissioner?
Senator Boniff, Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. To this point, Senator Rood?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Rood.
So we're going to take off the box, but the company can still put on the application that you have to pass a background check. So what is the difference?
Commissioner?
You're still getting at the same...
No. Mr. Chair, Senator Rood, I'll tell you what I think the difference is, and that's why I support the bill, is because the person who's applying for a job knows that they're not going to be able to get the job if, you know, there's something in their background. But they might want the opportunity to go and plead their case to somebody and to explain a situation. Whereas if you just have the box, no matter how great somebody is or what happened that caused them to have that problem, they're not even looked at. And so I think we do a disservice to the public in that way. I think what this does is it lets the potential employee know that there's this threshold that it's very likely they wouldn't get that job, but still it allows them that walk in the door to be able to tell their story.
Senator and Mr. Chair, I would concur with that.
Senator Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if we could have staff tell me what is in Section 364.021. I'm looking on line 2.24, and this has to do with private employers investigating, and the Human Rights Commissioner shall investigate violations. I just don't know what that section of law is off the top of my head. And the reason I ask is I'm always concerned when we add new mandates on our private employers. And so I just want to, and maybe this is just standard boilerplate language, and I'm just not familiar with it. But could someone talk about what the new language is regarding private employers?
Where are you at again, Senator Nelson?
2.24.
Mr. Fuller?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson, just look up to Section 3 in the bill. That section is there.
Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Fine. Okay, very good. There's the question. There's the answer.
Well, I'll tell All you. Right. That's fine. Good.
I apologize.
Very simple.
Senator Nelson, that's okay. All right. Any further discussion on Senate File 523?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dames.
I request a roll call vote.
Senator Dames has requested a roll call vote. There will be a roll call. Clerk will take the roll.
Senator Sparks?
Aye.
Senator Bonoff?
Aye.
Senator Dames?
Nay.
Senator Eakin?
Yes.
Senator Herr?
Aye.
Senator Coonan?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Yes.
Senator Rood?
No.
Senator Schmidt?
Aye.
Senator Weber.
Nay.
Okay, members, on a vote of 7-3, Senate File 523 has been recommended to pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee.
Senator Bonoff, Senate File 899.
Here it is. Thank you.
Senator Bonoff, Senate File 899.
Mr. Chair, members, some of the members on the committee are actually on the Higher Ed Committee as well, and so this will be repetitive as this bill has been heard twice in the Higher Ed Committee. But we are really pleased to bring forward Senate File 899 today, as it is our first attempt of having a comprehensive approach to addressing how are we going to deal with this skills gap. How are we going to make certain that our employers let us know what the jobs in demand are, where their training needs to go? And so the bill actually puts forward an approach that requires the commissioner to collect labor data, to work with MNSCU to make sure we're sharing that information, then make sure MNSCU is responding to it by putting forward the appropriate courses. And I will let Amy Wallstein go through exactly how that happens in the bill, but just wanted you to know that that's really the meat of it. In addition, there's something within this bill that we are really excited about on the Higher Ed Committee, and it's put forward in this bill as a pilot, but I'm hoping that between now and the time this actually gets through its next stop, that we expand it beyond being a pilot. And what that is we establish four different programs with our workforce centers where we ask our workforce center personnel to go into our high schools and augment the function of counselors. They have so much expertise around identifying the appropriate work path, career path for our young people. They have the proper tests. They know how to counsel folks with regard to financial matters. And so by bringing the skill set of our wonderful workforce center personnel to our high schools, we're really having a double benefit. We've already identified the lack of counselors as a key problem in our state, and we've identified the concern around student debt, graduation, and workforce shortage. And so this is a solution that marries those problems together and really presents us with a way to solve that challenge. I do have an amendment because as this went through the prior committee, we learned that one section of the bill was already being done by deed and would have added unnecessary costs. So the amendment before you, the A4, deletes Section 2. So I would like to move the A4.
Members, we'll wait till members have a copy and everyone's clear what Senator Bonoff's trying to do. Looks like you're deleting Section 2 of the bill.
Yes.
Any further discussion on Senator Bonoff's A4 amendment that would delete Section 2 of the credentialing report section? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The A4 amendment is adopted. Senator Bonoff, Ms. Wallstein, would you like to comment now?
Hi, I'm Amy Wallstein. I'm the Director of Education and Workforce Development for the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. Minnesota Chamber of Commerce is focused on preparing the Minnesota workforce to move Minnesota forward as an economic leader. And we see two challenges ahead. One is the immediate workforce shortage in the next decade, and second is continuing to strengthen the education to workforce pipeline. I wanted to briefly speak on what the Chamber has been doing in this area. Through our Grow Minnesota program, which we've been running for 10 years, we speak to employers about 1,000 every year on their workforce and other challenges. And through that, we got keyed in that there is skills gap going on throughout the state, specific to some sectors, specific to some regions. Then we also have been working with MNSCU on a workforce alignment project. So what that was last spring and summer, over 55 sessions were held with employers to listen to their workforce needs throughout the state. What we learned from that is that we need better tools, better data tools. There are a range of pieces out there. There's iSeek, Career One Stop, Occupations in Demand, Job Vacancy Surveys, but what we don't have is that data all on the same page. So what the supply and demand report that this bill is calling for matches the supply, the workers that are coming out of post-secondary, with the demand, where the occupations that are high growth, high need are throughout the state. The Chamber saw this. The Governor's Workforce Development Council saw the need for this as well. We passed out a handout that goes over some of their recommendations, one of which, recommendation number four, is that alignment piece with the supply and demand report. So what it gets at is helping students and incumbent workers identify the workforce growth areas. It helps programs and institutions that are educating students, helps them understand which degrees are needed throughout the state, different regions, different industries, where businesses are hiring, where there are significant vacancies and growth. So it helps institutions with better aligning their programs with economic needs. MNSCU has been doing a lot of this work already as a result of the workforce alignment sessions. So this bill kind of takes it another step to continue to encourage them to do this work and focus on scaling up the programs in those high growth, high demand sectors. It also will help improve student awareness of where the demand is so that as they're planning for their careers, they're aligning their programming needs, their education needs, with what the workforce is hiring for.
Thank you, Ms. Wolstein.
And Mr. Chair, before I have my next testifier speak, I just want to point members to the bill itself, the Section 5 pilot programs. We have recommended four pilot programs, one in the service area of Hennepin-Carver, and it's my hope that we would work with Brooklyn Park because that's a very small school district and it has high poverty and a high need with regard to their job placement and achievement gap. Northeast Minnesota, where and this particular pilot is interesting because they are actually doing it. In Chisholm, the workforce center that's there has already been working with the high schools. They got a grant from DEED and have just been so excited about it. The person responsible for that came and testified yesterday. In the Stearns-Benton area, which is the St. Cloud area, we wanted to try it in a regional center and see how that would work. And then finally, Senator Eakin came to and asked if the Moorhead area could be included with our pilots. And so we added that pilot. But again, it is my hope that by the time this session is over, that something happens and we're able to do the whole state because every school district is hungry for this.
Thank you, Senator Bonoff. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Ann Kilzer, and I'm the director of the Minnesota Workforce Council Association. For those of you who might not be familiar with us, our membership includes the local elected officials, workforce boards, and workforce service area directors from all of Minnesota's 16 workforce service areas. Our members provide strategic oversight of Minnesota's investments in employment and training and deliver the adult, dislocated worker, youth, and MFIP employment and training services in Minnesota's workforce centers. As you are well aware, Minnesota ranks in the bottom third in the United States on the ratio of students to guidance counselors. And our aging workforce, as Amy mentioned, is not being followed by enough potential workers. So we really feel we must do everything we can to ensure that students are aware of how they fit into the economic puzzle as soon as possible, ideally before spending a lot of time and money drifting around college programs that were never right for them in the first place. We're seeing that as a state that prides itself on education, legislators are very interested in ensuring that students are prepared for the workforce. Providing opportunities for individuals to attain job security and improve their way of life has been a consistent goal of Minnesota's workforce system for decades. During our history of providing employment and training services, we know a key element is connect early with youth and offer services that will build strong work ethics and provide for meaningful and relevant career advising. However, current funding pigeonholes us our providers into working with very at-risk youth, and this is a worthy investment. However, the problem of an underprepared future workforce is a much wider problem. Employers have overwhelmingly voiced a need for a well-trained workforce, and many good-paying jobs in the career paths are not introduced to young people in the secondary or even post-secondary levels. Youth and their family are simply not made aware of the many career paths that are available to them in their local areas. No other statewide system, in our opinion, is as well poised to do this work right now. We have vast amounts of career planning expertise and knowledge of local and state labor market information available at the workforce centers, professional trained counselors who are connected well to other critical components of this issue, the business community through our workforce boards and through work with local chambers of commerce, post-secondary training, economic development, community action programs, quality state and federal job training programs, the Department of Human Services, adult basic education, rehabilitation programs, juvenile corrections, and special educations are all partners with us at the local level. Through these connections, the workforce boards and providers have their fingers on the pulse of which occupations are most in demand in their communities and what kind of training is needed to fill those demands. We're publicly funded. Education is publicly funded. There's no reason why we shouldn't be sharing resources and encouraging responsible and innovative use of these resources statewide. As schools face budget challenges, it has been difficult to provide thorough career counseling programs. This project is designed to fill this gap and provide career counseling and guidance to youth in a holistic manner that will help increase the likelihood of long-term self-sufficiency through making career quality choices. The bottom line is that employers across the state are voicing a need, and we appreciate the acknowledgement that our workforce centers and system have the skills and knowledge to address that need. What we don't have are the flexible resources that would allow us to do so. So we thank you for your consideration of this proposal.
Thank you, Ms. Kilzer. Any questions for Senator Bonhoff for the witnesses? Senator Deans?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoff, looks like you've worked very hard on this. Looks like a very good bill. Just a question, what is the financial cost of this? Have you scoped that out yet?
Senator Bonner?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, we had an original fiscal note in our first stop in the Higher Ed Committee, and it was, in my opinion, ridiculously large, over $1 million, and they said we needed a ridiculous amount, in my opinion, of personnel. So, number one, we deleted Section 2, which part of the reason why we were getting hit with this big fiscal note is because Section 2 called forth using two of the programs that were going to be cut because of sequestration. Mm-hmm. And so my bill got the brunt. They put the whole burden of those programs on my bill. So I rejected that approach.
You
and
were
said
next in line.
Exactly, and said get rid of Section 2. And so I don't have the fiscal note was not ready for today. I will have it shortly. I can tell you that to do the pilot program, they felt as though it would cost one FTE per workforce center, and they. What did they say approximately for each FTE? How did they measure that? It was about 100.
I believe the fiscal note for the pilot projects was $187,000 for staff for the pilot projects. And just to clarify, if I may, we'd have one full-time FTE per workforce service area. So we'd have, if we did this statewide, it would be 16. In this case, it would be the four pilot projects for staff. But one staff person could work with more than one school district within their workforce service area if this was funded.
And, Mr. Chair, one of the things that I think we need to be doing as a state is rather than adding money, I think we need to reprioritize. I think we need to look at what are the demands we're asking from our workforce centers and see if, in fact, some of the things they're doing could be shifted. So rather than saying they need more money, maybe we need to reallocate the current money. And so it's my intention to sit down with Senator Tomasoni and the folks sitting with me at the table, and I'd love Senator Sparks to join me, and to really look at what are our priorities in terms of how we're spending our current dollars. There are also a tremendous amount of federal dollars that come through the workforce centers, and I think it'd be interesting to look at if there's ways to have access, particularly as we address the free and reduced lunch population, if we can't tap into some of those federal dollars. So I haven't yet seen a fiscal note I accept.
Senator Dames, that's a good
Mr.
question.
Chair,
Senator Dames, follow up, and then Senator Weber. Senator
Thank
Dames.
You, Senator Bonhoff, for the information on that. Can you tell me how long these pilot programs will last? Maybe it's in here, I didn't see it, but how long do they last?
Senator Bono?
Mr. Chair, it's a year, but it is my vision that this would be an ongoing thing that would be become common practice in our state, that we partnered workforce centers and school districts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Bono.
Senator Weber, and then Senator Nelson. Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bonhoff, I truly appreciate your last comment about the reallocation and reprioritizing and within the funds that we currently have. I hope that that might be something that is truly contagious to all aspects of state government.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bonhoff, this goes to your last comment as well. Certainly, this is a welcome piece of legislation, and any time we can align our resources and what we're doing to what the current needs are, I think is really important. And one of the things that I was looking at the piece targeted to helping students plan for those careers where the jobs exist or where they're anticipated to exist. I think that's a great addition. One of the things I did want to mention, and I was looking here, last year we did pass legislation. It was part of the Governor's Workforce Development Council recommendations regarding that every high school student have a career planning path. And so some of these things are already in place, and I just wanted to make sure that we connected all of those dots. I recall the Senate file number, but I can't see where it is in law, but I do know it was signed into law, Senate file 1073. So I'm just hoping there's some connection there and know that some groundwork has been laid for you to further build upon within our K-12 system.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, thank you very much. I will look into that myself. And do you have any comments on that, Ms. Wallstein?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, I'm aware of that language. I think that perhaps to take the recommendation of the Governor's Workforce Development Council to change the wording in that from strongly encouraged to require might be something to continue the discussion with this bill.
Mr. Chair, yes, we'll be doing that in the Education Policy Committee this year as well. So.
And if I may just add to that, Mr. Chair, the Governor's Workforce Development is kind of the statewide board that mirrors the local workforce boards at the local level. So we do work very closely with the GWDC. So any way that we can help tie those two pieces together as well, we're happy to do that.
Thank you.
Senator Eakin, where is your workforce center? In Moorhead or Detroit Lakes?
It's in Detroit Lakes, but this is oriented towards the Moorhead area, but it's headquartered in Detroit Lakes.
Good job.
Yes. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
The chairman couldn't even get his centers included, but good work, Senator Eakin.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, five pilots is fine with me.
All right. Any further discussion on Senate file 899? If not, Senator Bonhoff moves that Senate file 899 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Thank you very much,
Senator
Bonhoff. Thank you. With that, committee, thank you for your hard work during this first deadline week. That will wrap up the committee's work for this week. So thank you for your patience in being here this morning. With that, the committee's adjourned.